God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, the text for our sermon, our meditation together, is the gospel reading that was just read. And also, as we reflect on and think about the things that cause us to fear, we do remember the meaning to the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We should fear God above all things, because the fear of God destroys all other fears. When it is God alone that you fear, then nothing else will be able to use fear to manipulate you to sin. And so finally also, verse 8, the last verse of our psalm, Psalm 4, the result of such faith and knowing that Christ has died for us, we hear the psalmist who writes, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Growing up on the beach, well, that kind of gives you a healthy fear of water. You learn to respect water and its power. You learn where your own weaknesses are when you are in the water. And you also learn your strengths. You know when you're in trouble, when you're flailing in your arms and you're trying to swim, but the current is stronger than you. You know that it's time to just rest and float. You know when you're in trouble, and the best lesson of all for being around water is to not let the fear of the water cause you to freeze up. To just not sit there and do nothing because you are frozen in fear. But as if that's not enough, not just big waves and strong currents that we beach bums had to rightly fear, but it's almost as if the whole world and all of nature is out to destroy you. Because not only do you have to worry about the water, but also the sharks. Man, last week it was bears and lions and snakes. This week it's sharks. It's almost as if the world is groaning with sin. Indeed it is. For we can almost see last week's reading as supernatural, as the devil, as evil, tempting Jesus and tempting us. Today it's not the devil himself that is trying to get Jesus not to go to the cross, but it's evil men. It's Herod and the Pharisees. So while in the water, this is a good picture and a good example of life in general and the things we fear. Sharks that surround us. It's almost like we're in a foreign world when you're in the water. You have to play by different rules. The laws of physics are the same on land or water, but you're not swimming in air when you're in the ocean. You're in the water, and sharks don't play by the normal rules. The shark doesn't care if you're a nice person. He doesn't care if you've had a bad day. He's just looking for his next meal. When seeing a shark, it's easy to freeze up, to be petrified in fear, to not know what to do, and no matter where you are at, this is what fear does to us. You can be sitting there on your surfboard, not wanting to paddle, sitting still and hoping that the shark just passes you by, and then you remember, well, I don't have to paddle faster than the shark, just faster than my buddies in the water with me. Fear has a way of getting us to freeze up. Sharks, job losses, gas prices, wars, rumors of wars, bills, medical diagnosis. There's no shortage of sharks in the water, no shortage of things to fear. And these fears, a lot of times, they change, they migrate. When you're young, when you're high school and college, when you're in grade school, it's the fear of what your peers think about you. You want to be popular, and you begin to fear the opinions of people you want to impress. Maybe you don't freeze up, but you freeze up in your walk with Jesus. Or maybe as we grow into adults, we freeze up when it comes to learning how to spread the gospel or learning the scriptures. We freeze up when it comes to still being a student, something that's so natural to children. As we become adults, we freeze in our walk with Christ in that way. As we become adults, our life becomes comfortable and we're almost frozen in comfort because we fear inconvenience. We fear a little discomfort. I've worked all my life for this. Why should I not enjoy a little comfort? It's almost as if our entire lives leading up to the point of retirement is all focused on being comfortable. Where is that in the Scriptures? Parents, too, are tempted to freeze up when it comes to living by example for our kids. It's easy to tell them what to do. It's much harder to walk the walk. Fear. This is what today Jesus teaches us. We have no fears. When we fear, love, and trust in God above all things, when we by faith follow the footsteps of Jesus, we see we have nothing to fear. You heard the Pharisees today. They tried to get Jesus to fear Herod. They said, "Get out of here. Herod wants to kill you." Well, that escalated quickly. "Jesus, you're going to suffer if you don't run away." The Pharisees and these leaders, they do not live by faith. And when you do not live by faith, you miss a couple of things. First, we see that in not living by faith, they don't understand that this is why Jesus has come. Not only does not living by faith confuse you to the mission of Jesus, but when you don't have faith, you begin to fear earthly power and the things around you more than God. And we are reminded in the Scriptures, do not fear the one who can destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell. And when we do not live by faith, we will try to compromise. The Pharisees tried to get Jesus to compromise. Don't give your life. Don't suffer. Don't be uncomfortable. Go away from here. And it's ironic because this is precisely how Jesus' life began. Being threatened by the Herod in today's reading, Jesus was threatened by his father, Herod the Great. The Herod today that is spoken of is his son, Herod Antipas. And as his father killed all the 2-year-old boys at the birth of Jesus, so now his son, in the same manner, desires to kill Jesus. As his cross is coming closer and closer, as Jesus' mission is becoming more plain, the attacks not only of the devil, but also of mankind become more intense. Jesus, don't suffer. That's not the right way to go. The devil used Peter. Remember when Jesus said he was going to be handed over and die? Peter stood in front of Jesus and said, "No, Lord, never shall it be." And Jesus said, "Satan, get behind me." If Satan can use a faithful man like Peter, even more will the devil use evil men and women to thwart God's plan, to get us to turn from God's will, and they will use fear and the things we fear the most against us. The psalmist writes in Psalm 2, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart, cast away their cords from us." And this is great. How does God react to the kings of the earth taking counsel together against God? Verse 4, the psalmist says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs." Now, we're not quite sure why the Pharisees wanted Jesus to leave, to go away from Jerusalem. But we can be pretty confident it's not because they liked him. It's not because they wanted to protect Jesus. It's certainly the devil behind this tempting Jesus not to go to the cross, as we heard last week with the devil in the wilderness tempting Jesus. Now it's mankind. Now it's man who is even planning and plotting against God and his mission. And the Pharisees, they tell Jesus, "Well, you know, you're not going to do so well in the capital. Enemies of the state never do well in the stronghold of the state." And Jesus indeed was an enemy of the state. Ever since his birth, the throne, the king of the Jews, the Herods, they were always threatened by Jesus. And what's ironic is Jesus had not come to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus always had a target on his back because he is the one who seeks after God's will. He is the only one who desires to do good. And so for that, the world wants him dead. But look at Jesus' response. Jesus doesn't freeze. Even when the Pharisees try to convince him to save his own life, to do what is comfortable, how does Jesus respond? "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, I perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day. For it cannot be that a prophet's hour should perish away from Jerusalem." First, we notice Jesus' steadfast resolution, and that we too need to have this steadfast, Jesus-like strength in the face of fear. To recognize all temptation as what it is, from the devil, from wicked and evil men trying to use against us to give up the faith. Listen to Jesus' response. It is firm and resolute, and yet he also has Herod and the Pharisees' repentance in mind. Look at Jesus' response. It's like a sermon. He says, "Go and tell that fox, 'I will not freeze. I will not be deterred.'" And more than that, Jesus desires that Herod would repent. Jesus tells Herod and the Pharisees that he's the Messiah, and everything that the Old Testament was speaking about, Jesus is going to fulfill that. He fulfills Isaiah 35 when he says, "I will go about today and tomorrow. It cannot be that a prophet doesn't perish outside of Jerusalem." Isaiah 35 says that the Messiah will open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the mute shall be released, and he shall sing for joy. This is what Jesus means when he says, "I must go about healing and rescuing." And then when Jesus tells them that he's a prophet, he's fulfilling Deuteronomy 18. "The Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." When Jesus tells the Pharisees to take this message to Herod, he was preaching to them the Old Testament scriptures, and they missed it. They didn't know the Word of God, and so they missed Christ's call to repent. When Jesus tells them to take this message, we can see even the desire of Jesus to save his enemies to save those who do fall for temptation, to save those who do see their fears as greater than God. Jesus says, no. Even with you, the very people I'm coming to save, even with you telling me don't do it, I will accomplish my goal. Because in accomplishing my goal, I actually free you from the very things that are turning you from me. Herod the Great and all of his power could not stop Jesus, not only in his birth, but also now as he approaches his death. Even at the threat of death, Jesus embraces it. He tells them, this is precisely why I've come, to die. We see a Jesus. He's not this picture of a weak man who just goes around from town to town just being a nice guy. We see Jesus who stands firm in the face of the secular authorities when the sharks smell blood, when the sharks are circling. Jesus turns to the secular authorities and says, they have no business demanding the church to bow to their demands. When it comes to the business of saving souls and preaching the gospel, Jesus says, tell that fox, I will accomplish my goal. In Acts 5, Peter and the other apostles face a similar situation. They are told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus because they're causing all kinds of trouble. The authorities of Jerusalem, they tell them, stop preaching in Jesus' name or we're going to kill you. And the disciples respond, we must obey God rather than men. Jesus is no pacifist. He is no weak-spined, limp-wristed man. He is the man of men. He is the perfect man. He is not about putting his political affiliation before his identity as Savior. Jesus is not worried about being polite. He does not put his own safety ahead of his identity as Savior. He's not worried about the opinions of men, no matter how powerful they are, no matter what they put over his head, and we should be of that same spirit. We should fear nothing. In the face of opposition to our faith, even as Christianity is being looked down upon by successful and powerful people, every corner we go around, the sharks smell blood in the water. And now is not the time to freeze. There should be nothing that deters us from spreading the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is what saves the vulnerable and poor and oppressed, while the sharks stand there and tell them, I will take care of you. There should be nothing that deters us from living a sacrificial life faithfully in our vocations as strong men, as strong women. What are we afraid of? Failure? Jesus Christ, we are told, is the perfecter of our faith. Are we afraid maybe even of success? Of seeing that Jesus really is true to His Word, saying, when I am with you, I am with you always to the end of the age, and that we have nothing to fear. We should take comfort in today's reading. We should see Jesus' determination to fulfill His calling as Messiah, as Savior, who stands up to even death for us. He will not be turned from carrying His cross. He will not freeze in the face of death. Foxes, sharks, devils and demons, kings, executioners, hangmen, not one of these caused Jesus to even pause, to even stumble. They try to use fear, intimidation, threats of not being comfortable. These are all the tools of the devil, and you should be able to identify that. That comfort and threat, this comes from the devil. A soldier is equipped to face his fears by strict training, by being put in uncomfortable situations so he doesn't freeze when he gets into battle. A soldier is put through freezing temperatures, sleepless nights, so that he might be all the more stronger and prepared for when the sharks come. My friends, this is Lent for the Christian. Lent is a time we intentionally become a little uncomfortable. We do it not for the sake of being uncomfortable, but we do it so that our faith in Christ would grow. To swim in the waters that we thought were so full of danger and threats and fears, and for us to see that you certainly are not going to be swallowed up when you suffer a little. That Christ never lets His word go out without its purpose. That you can jump in the waters intentionally. You can put the phone down and you can pick up your Bible. You can turn the television off. You can tell people, we're not going to be at this event. We're going to miss practice. We're going to miss games because we're going to study the Word of God. I'm not going to be at that meeting. I'm studying my Scriptures. To fast and to spend time in prayer, swimming from promise to promise in the Bible, to see that God will carry you through everything that causes you to fear. If you think about it, even our own Sunday church service, it's intended to keep you a little uncomfortable. Yeah, it is. The church service is not oriented toward entertaining you or making you feel comfortable according to your flesh, your wants and desires in this world. Sunday morning is a little reminder. It's not our comfort that should be our first desire, but it is repentance and faith. It is hearing the promises of your Savior, and in prayer and in thanksgiving, speaking back to Him precisely the promises that we trust. That it is here we are taught where true comfort is found, the forgiveness of sins, the victory of Christ given to us in the waters not full of sharks that will consume you, but the waters of baptism, where you are given life. That we come here remembering, what does St. Paul say to the Philippians today? He says, your citizenship is in heaven. And when you're in a foreign culture, when you're here in this world, when we're in the world that is ruled by the devil, that is his kingdom, when you're in a foreign culture, you should never quite feel at home. There's always an element of not fitting in when you're in a foreign country. And even when you're swimming in the ocean, you remember you're not at home. There are different rules. There's different scenery. It's beautiful and it's gorgeous, but it will kill you. The shark of this world, the devil and all his demons, try to convince us to freeze because we're at his mercy. Well, you're not. The death and resurrection of Jesus proves that to you. That Jesus would not be turned by fear of dying, but he embraces his cross because by it the devil is rendered toothless. The devil is not to be feared, nor the things that he throws at you, especially your sin as he shows you your sins of failure, your sins of being too afraid, your sins of not taking the Word of God seriously, your sins of letting fear dictate your life, Jesus says, gone, forgiven. Jesus allowed himself to be swallowed by death so that he may show us not even death can harm those who trust in him. Jesus was swallowed by death, satisfying the wrath of God, taking away your sins. We don't have to swim faster than our fears because Christ suffered death on your behalf. He's taken away the sting of death. He's taken away the sting of the devil. He has no teeth. The fear of God is the end of all other fears. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Psalm 27, the psalmist writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Jesus defends us in the waters of this world where sharks hide, devils and demons lurk in the shadows. But all those shadows, they're just your fears. But the light of Christ has shined in the dark places. The life and death of Christ has lifted you up out of the waters, out of the watery grave of death, and has given you life that not even the devil can take away. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.